You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Governor Evers today is ordering the closure of all non-essential businesses due to the coronavirus outbreak. He's also urging people to stay at home to slow the spread. State health officials report 5 people have died and 416 have been infected. A shelter-in-place or a quote, safer at home order would mirror what other states are doing, including Illinois. So what do you think the state should do to prevent the spread? Do you feel like social distancing is working, or is this new order an important step for the state? We're at 800-642-1234. Molly Beck covers state politics and government for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Molly, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So what does this safer at home order mean for Wisconsinites?
So the order, it basically codifies what the governor has been advising for over a week now. I would say he has been telling people that they need to stay in their homes unless, you know, they're going out to get food or medicine or just the, you know, the true essential things that you need. But it also, this order will also mean that more businesses will close. We saw bars and restaurants close and hair salons and things like that over the last few days. But this will go farther and require more workplaces to close or require their employees to work remotely. It will exempt quite a few businesses, though. We don't know exactly what, you know, the governor is defining as essential businesses, but the governor's office did.
Yeah. Who makes the decisions about which businesses are considered essential at this time?
Those are great questions, and we don't have answers to them yet, but that's going to be coming from the governor's office, and I'm sure he's going to be making that decision with public health officials, because that's how he's been making these decisions so far. The governor's office did say that they believe it will be pretty close to Ohio's order. And I looked at, you know, what businesses are exempt in Ohio, and there are places like Home Depot or, you know, plumbers and things like that. Those kinds of things will still be able to operate.
Well, let's bring in a call now. Ken is joining us from Salem this morning. Hi, Ken.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Quick question in an odd situation. Live in Wisconsin, work in Illinois. Both states now under stay-at-home orders, basically. I work for a non-essential business, but the owner decided to keep it open, listing it as essential, putting the workers in quite a conundrum.
Wow.
Any ideas?
So basically the business is staying open, but it is not on the list of essential businesses. Molly, have you been hearing about the situation at all?
I've gotten actually a couple emails asking similar questions about what happens if my employer doesn't close, even though they're supposed to. I know that the enforcement of this order is left up to local law enforcement. I'm not sure how each agency will be handling that. I know a week ago, when there wasn't such a restrictive order in place, some sheriff's offices were saying they would respond to complaints, but they weren't going to be, you know, knocking on people's doors and counting people when there is a limit to how big a gathering could be. But now the restrictions are a little bit more clear. But we just don't know exactly how law enforcement agencies will be handling this. But somebody, if they could be, you know, you could call law enforcement on the employer if they're not abiding by the order.
Ken, are you still showing up for work?
Yes. Like I said, it puts us in quite a conundrum. It's listed now as voluntary, but I fear because the company doesn't close its doors that might present a problem with unemployment or any money that might be coming from the government.
And how many employees may be at the business at what one time working together in the same area?
Probably well over 100.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Ken. Appreciate the call. We're talking with Molly Beck, state politics and government reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Join in with your questions, your thoughts about the governor's stay-at-home order. What do you think the state should be doing to prevent the spread of the coronavirus? Does social distancing work? How do you feel about the safe-at-home orders? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Molly, Governor Evers laid out some details of the order in a telephone news conference yesterday with reporters.
You can still go out and take a walk, go for a bike ride, walk the dogs. It's good exercise and it's good for everybody's mental health. But please don't take any other unnecessary trips and limit your travel to essential needs like going to the doctor, grabbing groceries, or getting medication.
Okay, so we hear the governor there on a speakerphone scenario. Under the new order, what are some other ways that people could still leave their homes?
Yeah, I mean, it like I said before, buying food, buying medicine, going to the doctor, those are the, you know, the errands, I guess you could be making under this order. You can go outside and take a walk. I know things like play dates, those are not going to be allowed. And I'm not sure how they will handle playgrounds. I'm guessing those will be closed. Those have been closed in other states that have had similar orders in place. But maybe parks, you know, the whole park might not be closed. It's not clear at this point, but, it seems that the governor is trying to avoid situations, even if they're outside, where people are congregating together.
It would seem to be very difficult to close a playground when it's like open access. The equipment is there and it's not like you can put a perimeter around it.
Yeah. And that's going to be the problem for all of these things. You know, there's not going to be, you know, police knocking on your door twice a day, making sure that you're inside. So these are, you know, they're going to tell you not to do these things, but ultimately there's still going to be a chance that people will still do them.
Well, let's bring in Chris now in Richland Center. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I just called. I happened to hear somebody asking about, you know, how they're going to determine what is essential and what's not. And I work an overnight shift at a company. I'm not going to say where, but basically, it seems to me that the information we were given this morning as a group is that we're considered essential because the Department of Homeland Security is the one who's determining what is essential. And then those companies who we supply got a hold of us and said, hey, you're essential to us to keep running. And I think that's how things are going to be determined from what I understand. And then we are, you know, strictly enforcing, you know, 6 feet between people that are working and things like that. No more than, you know, three people in the break room at a time, things like along those lines to kind of make sure that if somebody is sick, that we're limiting the chance of it being spread throughout the workplace, I guess.
Well, I can see Chris brings up an important point there that it's almost like a food chain as you continue, like one business is dependent on another business.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And I know that in other states, manufacturing companies, like food manufacturing companies, have been allowed to stay open and things like that to make sure that, you know, grocery stores have enough food and things like that. As far as, you know, whether, you know, the federal government is going to be deciding which businesses stay open, the governor did say that they were going to be leaning on the recommendations of federal officials, but that they might change them. So that's, you know, that could change too.
Talking with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Molly Beck about the governor's order for Wisconsinites to stay put in their homes starting this week. Businesses will be forced to close unless they provide essential services. What questions do you have about what businesses and people are considered essential? What do you want to know about the difference between this stay-at-home order and what was in place before? There's room for your questions, your situation, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Molly Beck here on the Ideas Network. Work. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Governor Evers' new stay-at-home order here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're trying to drill down on what the order means for residents. Evers is calling his order safer at home, not shelter in place. The phrasing is the same as what we've seen out of Ohio. Are you experiencing a financial crisis with COVID-19? How is your family coping? Have you filed for unemployment? What do you worry about most? Are you a healthcare worker? What do you think of this latest attempt to slow the spread of a worldwide pandemic? How is your hospital or clinic doing? Be part of this 800-642-1234. Molly Beck is a state politics and government reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and she stays with us. Let's take another call now. Let's go to Rachel, who's joining us from West Bend. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. My question is about landscapers and people who work outside. I work for a company, and we are staying 6 feet apart. I'm just curious how, if we're following similar models that from Illinois that are allowing landscapers to keep working and things like that.
Rachel, thank you. Molly, what about the people who do work outside? I'm thinking so many construction sites as well that I pass on my commute that are very active, lots of people working. What do we know there?
Right. Jobs that are being performed outside that might not, you know, have to be, like, we don't know much about that. We haven't heard any kind of there have been no details given about those kinds of situations. And I looked, construction sites especially, we've been receiving a lot of questions about that. And that was not specifically exempted in the Ohio order that we've been looking at, because the governor's office said it would be similar to that, at least that I've seen. So that's still a question for us.
Rachel, thank you for the call. Molly, are Wisconsin state parks open for hikes right now?
They are. The parks are open right now. I haven't heard anything about them closing either. Okay. But like I said before, maybe, you know, the playgrounds or like the little picnic areas, those might be closed.
Well, you cover the Capitol. How much debate is there right now among Democrats and Republicans over which businesses should be exempt from a stay-at-home order and which businesses are essential?
Well, Republican lawmakers that control the legislature, the Republican leaders, those are the lawmakers that we've heard the most from on this order. And they are, you know, they issued a statement yesterday saying the order, you know, the way the order has been rolled out has been very confusing for people because they know an order is coming, but they don't have any details about whether their business will be exempt or not. But we also know that the Republican leaders did not want an order like this. Just a couple days ago, over the weekend, actually, they issued a statement saying that any further restrictions on businesses like this would lead to a total collapse of the economy. Governor Evers last week said that he didn't think he would have to issue an order like this as late as Friday. And so the fact that he's doing this now, they're asking what changed in those 2 days. We've asked the governor's office that, and they've said it's just the situation is evolving so quickly that, you know, they were talking to public health officials and looking at the science and how quickly this could spread and whether what they were doing was going to be effective or not. And they determined that they needed more restrictions.
We're talking with Molly Beck, who covers state politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, gathering your thoughts, your situation on the policies that are being put in place in Wisconsin on gathering, like the rule limiting gatherings of greater than 10 people and the rule of closing bars and restaurants except for takeout. What do you think of these policies? Do you think this is the right course of action or not? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Christian now, who is joining us from Milwaukee this morning. Hi, Christian.
Good morning.
Good morning. I understand you're an Uber driver.
Yes, I've been Ubering for a little over a year now. And it's just kind of, it's bizarre with everything that's been going down. I've been really confused. Like, in the beginning of the quarantine, before they were demanding everybody pretty much stay indoors, I was just, like, I wasn't sure whether or not I should be driving just because of how many people come and go from my vehicle. But at the same time, like, now that it's, like, non-essential employees or non-essential workers should stay home, I get all the time, especially in blizzards, that they need us. Like, there's just no way about it. Some people just can't get around without an Uber. So it's just it's weird to have this happen, especially because with everybody staying home, I make less than half I do a day now.
Yeah. Are you calling from the road right now? Yeah. Are you working today?
Yeah, well, I'm on my way home from a friend's house, but if I catch a ride on the way home, I'll take it.
So, Christian, do you intend then to stay put, stay at home, and not do Uber for some time? What does this look like? What does the situation look like for you?
Well, it comes to a point where you got to make money, and I've been following closely to what the administration's been saying with these relief checks, and it's so up in the air. It's not something that I can guarantee myself. So, yeah, I continue to drive, but, again, I only get, like I said, less than half the business I get, and I still disinfect with Lysol and stuff.
Well, Molly, lots of uncertainty here in Christian's story, in his voice, driving Uber. Do we know anything there?
We haven't heard about Wisconsin in Uber, but in other states, Uber has been considered an essential service like other transportation services. But he's right. I mean, he's just going to see fewer passengers. There's just fewer people going to work. You know, people are working from home or they're not working. You look at the streets, they're just, you know, there's not as many people on the streets. So that's certainly going to be a concern.
Christian, thank you for calling in and sharing. Let's go to Betsy now in Milwaukee. Good morning, Betsy.
Hi. I think the governor is just going overboard with this thing. Like, he likes to tell everyone what to do. And I don't like that he's telling the businesses to close. If they want to close, they could close. If not, then not. And as long as they keep everything clean, or if people could wear masks or maybe a scarf over their face or something, you know, that may be enough. We don't have that many cases in Wisconsin yet, and particularly in other parts of the state, it seems like too much. I mean, I know that there's a friend said that a gun range is still open. Maybe it's a way, it's not my thing, but it's maybe a way for people to blow off some steam. And I don't know if that will be closed or not. But gosh, well, I wish my local coffee shop was still open.
yeah, Betsy, thank you for sharing. Molly, cleanliness and personal protection equipment. Betsy thinks that would be good enough to help stop the spread.
Well, I know that public officials say that's not the case. You know, they've said that masks, you know, they can prevent you from giving it to somebody else in some cases, but maybe not the other way around. What they've said is basically like, we just need fewer people interacting with each other. And if we don't do that, then this is going to spread very quickly because it's very contagious, and it's contagious before you have symptoms. So you might not even know that you need to protect yourself from each other people when you are contagious. And you know, there's no vaccine, and we don't have any immunity to it. So that's why the public officials have said that they are trying to limit interaction between people as much as possible.
Betsy, thanks. Let's go to Al now, joining us from Oak Creek. Hi, Al. What are you thinking?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Just listening, I don't understand how the governor can implement something and you're still not sure of what's going to be there. I mean, you're leaving a lot of unanswered questions. And here you're going to propose to people that you need to stay home. And how are they going to decide who's out running an errand or just out? I mean, this is kind of reaching. I do construction, so that's another question that was brought up many times. And it's just kind of a lot of unanswered questions, I guess, is my point.
So are you going to your construction site and able to work right now, Al?
Well, what we do is we're kind of a seasonal thing. I do outside, I build roads, so that's I've talked to my bosses as of the weekend, everything was forward. They got a report from the DOT that road work is essential. But just the uncertainty, you know, I'm not real worried, but there's many people that you're kind of putting them in the poorhouse here.
Yeah, you know, Al, Al, thank you for sharing your situation. Building roads, essential service there, Molly. But he's also concerned, like, how people will understand going forward who should stay back and who shouldn't.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, the kind of those are the details that we're looking for today. And also, it will be a question that we have: how are you going to get these details to every person and every employer and every employee, so everybody knows exactly what the rules are and why. But there are laws. There's the governor does have powers in state law that allows him to take actions like this, and the health secretary to take actions like this during a public health emergency.
Molly, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Molly Beck is a state politics and government reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Coming up, the president of Wisconsin's Technical College System joins us to look at how her campuses are responding to the pandemic and other longtime concerns, such as the easing of transferring credits between schools. Are you a technical college student or teacher? What do you want people to know right now? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll talk with Technical System President Morna Foy right after this news update on the Ideas Network. The coronavirus pandemic is being felt straight across Wisconsin's 16 technical college, just like other schools. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Canceled events and graduation ceremonies, teachers and students scrambling to set up digital learning. Technical colleges are these small communities seeing lots of sudden changes from the pandemic. So are you a teacher or student at one of the technical colleges? What questions do you have about the response? How are you feeling right now? Join in 800-642-1234. Morna Foy is president of the Wisconsin Technical College System that includes 49 campuses, more than 300,000 students enroll in the system's courses each year. President Foy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much.
So campuses across the state are really scrambling now to set up online learning, alternative learning in smaller groups. How is your transition going in the technical colleges?
I think it's obviously been a major disruption, but I have been very inspired to see the response of our college leaders, our faculty, our staff, and of course, our students who have had to make the biggest adjustments. You know, we're focused on keeping everyone safe, getting students who are close to graduation to that date, and helping all of our students make progress toward their academic goals. So we've been doing a lot of things. Some of it has been more complicated than others. You know, we're fortunate that we have such great community support and community collaboration. So our colleges have been working with local public health authorities and community leaders and employers to make sure that we can make this transition.
Well, technical learning often means hands-on learning. Which kinds of courses or programs or certificates are having to be canceled altogether because of the pandemic?
We're actually trying to work with individual students. So some of our lab classes have had to be canceled or postponed as we try to develop an alternative way to deliver that learning. We've had clinicals, obviously, for healthcare students are not operating right now. So we've been working with the Board of Nursing and our accreditors to make sure that those clinical opportunities can either be, in some cases, replaced through online options. The technology available is really amazing. But in other cases, we're having to find new ways to make those opportunities happen later on in the student's academic experience.
And I would imagine it's really crunch time because these are students who would normally graduate and literally be absorbed into the workforce.
Exactly. And some of our most, you know, mission critical programs, public safety, EMTs, healthcare workers, these are all folks that employers were looking for and our communities were looking for in high numbers before the pandemic. And so it's just going to be a more difficult, more demand careers. But at the same time, we have to stay focused on what's most important at the, in the moment, which is making sure that those students can be safe, they can be safe for their families, and that they are well enough and have the tools to proceed with their academic program once we get to a better place.
Well, colleges around the state are canceling or postponing, weighing whether to cancel their spring graduation ceremonies. At this point, should all campuses call off these events?
Many of our colleges have postponed their graduation ceremonies. They're already well into planning for alternative ways to celebrate these amazing achievements. That's an important thing that we don't want to lose sight of, is that all of our students who are graduating in the next couple months or even 6 months or ever, they've worked really hard for those degrees, and we need to recognize them and acknowledge them and give them an opportunity to be celebrated. So we're working through that on a campus-by-campus basis, and I think that we'll just have to see how the state's response to COVID-19 plays out. But I think at this point, our commitment is to make sure that those students' academic success is recognized, and we're not so focused on the exact date that that celebration occurs.
And President Foy, for some students, you know, walking across that stage with their friends and family in the audience is a really strong motivator toward a degree. Do you worry about that motivation going away? Are you concerned about even graduation rates falling?
We are doing everything we can to avoid that. I think a lot of folks are very worried about, will they have the technology and tools? Will they have the support? Do they have the time to and the resources to pursue an academic program? So we're reaching out to all of our students individually to make sure that they don't feel alone in this effort, and that they can continue with their studies with their college's support and be successful. So right now, I think there'll be some folks who take a pause on their academic experience, but we really are going to work hard to make sure that nobody feels like they have to stop going to college because of this experience.
Do you feel like you have the resources within the technical college to reach out to every student and chart a path forward here on tailoring their education right now?
We are going to do our very best. I mean, it is kind of a daunting task, but we are fortunate in a way that we are very localized, and we've been dealing with geographic distances among our students for pretty much ever. Most of our students do not live on campus or next to campus, so we've had to use phone and internet and other communication system to connect with them, and we are ramping up those efforts so that we can make the experience as close to normal as possible. But students' success and student supports have been as much of a focus for our colleges right now as converting our academic programs and instruction into online format.
We're talking about COVID-19 with Morna Foy, president of the Wisconsin Technical College System. Were you recently laid off, or did you have your hours cut because of the pandemic? Are you thinking about enrolling at a technical college as you see new work? Are you an employer? What skill gaps do you see in the state workforce right now? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. President Foyt, let's look at workforce here. Not long ago, Wisconsin employers were worried about workforce shortages with historically low unemployment. Not the case now. Last week, more than 60,000 people filed unemployment claims. What could this sudden shift in the workforce mean for your technical colleges?
It's going to be a very interesting and I think a brave new situation for us. It's, you know, when the economy hasn't done as well in historically, our enrollments tend to go up because people are looking for new opportunities, new skill sets. This situation is a little bit different because I think it's more of a pause for many people. But it definitely is going to change what skills are and will be in demand by employers. It's also going to change the kinds of jobs and careers that students are interested in pursuing, not just now or 2 years or but 5 years and 10. I think there's going to be some big shifts in our program array that's going to respond to that in the coming months and in the coming years. But fortunately, this is a process of constantly monitoring employment demands of employers and interest areas of students that the technical colleges are very familiar with. We are constantly modifying our curriculum, adding new programs, ending programs that are no longer of interest to anyone. So we have a very robust and flexible program design and development process.
Technical colleges are really known for being quite nimble about programming. Do you anticipate that you will see different degree programs on the other side of the pandemic?
Yes, I'm absolutely sure of that. I don't know what they'll be yet, but I think that that's inevitable.
So when you look at skill gaps before the pandemic threw our economy into a wrench, what gaps in the state's workforce were technical colleges trying to work on?
Well, healthcare, not just nursing, but allied health was and is, and I'm certain will continue to be an area of high demand.
And when you say allied health, what do you mean there?
Respiratory therapists, phlebotomists, x-ray technicians, sonography, just any of the lab techs, medical assistants, anyone that works in healthcare that's essentially not a nurse or a doctor falls into that group.
Sure. Yeah. Carry on with the skill gaps there. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, healthcare has always been one for Wisconsin and will continue to be. I think there might be some new fields in healthcare. Obviously, public health is on everyone's mind right now, and that is a completely different skill set when it comes to organization and communication. Obviously, information technology, that was one of our areas of growing interest, particularly things like cybersecurity. And I think that we're going to see a real explosion in that as we spend more time in the virtual world. Even folks like me, who isn't necessarily our preferred platform, but we're getting used to it. And that's going to create, I think, huge demand and also huge interest in the power of technology and how we can make better use of it.
Well, we're talking with Wisconsin Technical College System President Morna Foy about her system's response to COVID-19. Are you a parent of a technical college student? Are they back home? Are you an adult at a technical college? What's your situation like? 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What questions do you have for the president of Wisconsin's technical college system? What do you want to know about the system's response or how it is handling other issues? Are you a teacher or student in the system? What's forefront on your mind? Are you able to transition to online? Still time for you at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Morna Foy is here, president of the Wisconsin Technical College System, and she stays with us. And Morna, let's look at transferability of credits. That's been one big area you've been trying to address. And we talked to you in the past about how to make transfer easier for students. How is that going?
I think it's going well. We have really sort of shifted gears in the last few months. We're focused, had some legislative support to improve the amount of courses and credits that transfer, in particular between the technical college system and the UW system. We're implementing a new information system for students along with the university, so it's easier for them to see what credits transfer between the two systems. But truthfully, our focus for transfer right now has moved to the program-to-program model. It is essentially making sure that when an individual gets an associate degree from a technical college, and at some point after that degree has been completed, they want to transfer to a four-year program. They go in as a junior, and without having to redo credits or time and money. You know, it's really what students expect. It's what employers are demanding. And it's really what makes most sense in the long run. So we are focused on developing those kinds of program-to-program transfer agreements. And I'm hoping for good progress there in the coming year.
Your students at the technical colleges, they tend to be older, more established in their careers. They might have families. What does that mean for the challenges your students are facing right now in the pandemic?
Well, that goes back to our first objective, which is we need to make sure that our students and our college faculty and staff are safe and can keep their families safe. So that has been a primary motivator for a lot of our decisions. It also means, though, that most of our students have jobs and they go to school part-time. So we have to deal with the financial repercussions for them and their families with the changes that are happening because of the pandemic. Lots of our students work in industries that have been shut down or are just not doing as well. And so they've been furloughed. They are hourly workers, so they are without their income right now. So colleges have been taking extra steps to make sure that we can all get through this together, including creating new emergency grant programs with their foundations, freeing up money that may have been donated for a particular purpose, and asking those donors if it's okay if we use that money to help students with assistance right now. And the response to those kinds of requests has been tremendous. And I just really want to give a shout out and a thank you to all those folks in the community that are helping their technical colleges and supporting their technical colleges students.
We're talking about the state's technical colleges with System President Morna Foy here. Are you a student or the parent of a technical college student? What questions do you have about how the campuses are operating? What issues do you want administrators to give more attention to? And teachers, what challenges do you see that people should know about? We're at 800-642-1234. Chris from Beaver Dam called in, couldn't stay with us. Chris says that they're a nurse and the parent of a nursing student enrolled at Madison Area Technical College. And Chris says they desperately need more CNAs, more certified nursing assistants and nurses in the pipeline. Chris is worried about what's happening with classes. President Foy, what could be the path ahead for CNAs or nursing clinical work?
Well, the clinical work right now has been suspended at the request of our clinical partners. Again, this is a safety issue, and it's also just the right thing to do for those students and for those healthcare workers. I mean, providing clinicals requires time and attention from the healthcare provider, the hospital, or the clinic staff themselves. And right now, their attentions have to be focused elsewhere. And it's just a safety issue for our students to make sure that they are not unnecessarily exposed. So right now we are working on how we can make up for lost clinical time, if you will. How, if there's other modalities in which we can give students a clinical experience without having to actually be in the clinic. We have already moved in that direction to some degree because of the availability of simulators and technology that allows us to do that. But we're talking with our accreditors and the Board of Nursing on what additional changes we could make. And I would just say that I think the response of our healthcare providers, many of whom in Wisconsin have gone through technical colleges for their training, has just been superlative. And that is, generally speaking, the primary reason why people enter into a career field is because they see or know someone in that field who is an inspiration to them. Mm. And I think that, you know, the response of the healthcare providers in this state has been tremendous. I think that they are an inspiration to me, and I'm certain that they are inspiring many others who will be thinking about what career path to take in the next few years.
Well, let's bring in James now. James is joining us from Kimberly, Ohio this morning. Hi, James.
No, Kimberly, Wisconsin.
Oh, Kimberly, Wisconsin. I'm sorry.
I am a paramedic in the Fox Valley area of here in Wisconsin, and I am also an instructor adjunct at Fox Valley Tech for the EMS program. And my question is, with the school closings, with the colleges closing down, and, you know, a lot of them are going online, with things like EMS and, like, fire science, they're really a hands-on type of program. What is the state have in place for all the students that are taking, like, fire science and EMS, because if they're not in school, they're not going to be able to do any of this these classes online, because, like I said, it's more of a hands-on. And I was just wondering, like, what they have in place for that.
Right. James, thank you. Hands-on, shoulder-to-shoulder learning here. President Foy, what is a plan for fire science and EMS?
We've been working with individual students and individual programs to try to figure out if there are ways that we can deliver it using social distancing principles. And that has happened to some extent. But I think that as we get to different stages in this pandemic, we're going to be able to do less and less of that. And so we are, again, putting some of these things that traditionally have been strictly hands-on, trying to use new delivery systems. There is a lot you can do using technology these days. In some cases, we have to deal with the accrediting and requirements of a degree program. For example, some public safety courses have to be done in person. They're just not accredited, delivered any other way. And so we are looking at how can we schedule maybe put those students into sort of more concentrated programming once some of these restrictions are lifted on our colleges. So, I mean, we are working hard at finding ways to make sure that folks can continue to make progress on their degrees, regardless of what credential they're getting.
President Foy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Morna Foy, president of the Wisconsin Technical College System. Just ahead, we get tips for digital learning and instruction. Teachers and parents across the state are hustling to adjust after the coronavirus shuttered classrooms. Join the conversation with your questions, your own tips, 800-642-1234. The Morning Show continues right after this news update. You're listening to the Ideas Network.